called me, and he's like, there's an opening. You know, I thought he said, it's in June. I said, put me down, June of next year. He says, no, June of this year. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But I said, put me down, glory to God, because, amen. Evangelist Johnson, amen. When he comes, listen, I've known, amen, the evangelist for a very long time. We got saved there in the same church. Amen. My daughter and his daughter, they are only but a few months apart. Your daughter is when? Her birthday is what? August? So mine's in November, so just 2 months apart. Amen. And they grew up together in the church. Amen. He was there 2 years before I came into the church. He came in 97. I came in 99. And God has, God has used this life tremendously. Amen. Pioneered in Foshan, China. Glory to God. And that church is still strong. That's one of the churches that I preached in, and I will give a testimony on Sunday about. Amen. But it's a wonderful church that is still thriving. Amen. It's still there because him and his wife and his daughter, London, they said yes to God. Can I tell you, it was not the easiest things, but as they gave themselves, listen, he doesn't only just preach it, but he lived his life for it. Because how many know that we can preach it? Yes, I can do it, but this is a man that not only spoke it, but he lived it. Amen. And it's just a great honor and a privilege tonight. Amen. Let's give him a round of applause as he comes and preaches the word of God tonight.
Thank you. Praise God. What a joy to be back here with you. Amen. In paradise. Hallelujah. You guys know you live in one of the most beautiful places. I think God was practicing for heaven when he made Colorado Springs. And so it is a joy to be with you and to be here tonight. And we're going to believe God to help us this week. Can you say amen? We desperately need a visitation from heaven. Can you give me a little bit more monitor, my brother? On the flyer, it has me wearing my cowboy hat. But I didn't bring it with me because it's hard to travel with. So will y'all forgive me? I'm still a cowboy, but I just don't have the hat. Come on, whenever you're ready. Well, I've heard those city singers singing about the love of God, deeper than the oceans, higher than the stars above. Well, I come from the country and I know I ain't seen it all, but I heard that ocean salty and the stars, they sometimes fall. And that would not do justice to the way God feels for you. So I had to sing a song about all the things I knew. God's love is deeper than the holler, stronger than a river, higher than the pine trees growing tall upon the hill. His love is purer than the snowflakes fall in late December, and honest as a robin on a springtime windowsill, longer than the song of a whippoorwill. From the back roads to the Broadway shows and a million miles between, there's a lot of gospel music people love to sing, and everyone is different, but everyone's the same. This is just another way of saying the same thing. God's love is deeper than the holler, stronger than a river, higher than the pine trees growing tall upon the hill. His love is purer than the snowflakes falling late December, and honest as a robin on a springtime windowsill, longer than the song of a whippoorwill. A whippoorwill. God's love is deeper than the holler, stronger than the river, higher than the pine trees growing tall upon the hill. His love is purer than the snowflakes falling late December, and honest as a robin on a springtime windowsill, longer than the song of a whippoorwill. A whippoorwill.
That's without the cowboy hat. Next time I'll make sure, well, I don't want to make no promises because I might forget. Amen. You didn't turn me off, did you?
If you've been walking the same old roads for miles and miles, if you keep hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you keep trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chain, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chain, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You've got chain, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. He's a chain breaker.
Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. That song make you want to sing another one. But I'm not going to, because we got to get to the wonderful word of God. You have your Bibles tonight. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 tonight. Amen. As I said, church, just believe in God to help us, speak to us, move in our hearts, amen, this week by his wonderful, precious Spirit. The Bible says, and as they were eating, he said, I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, that one of you will betray me. Verse 22, being deeply grieved and extremely distressed, each one of them began to say, surely not I, Lord. Jesus answered, he who has dipped his hand in the bowl with me as a pretense of friendship will betray me. The Son of Man is to go to the cross just as it is written in the scripture. But woe, judgment is coming to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he would have never been born. One of the most powerful books that I've ever read was a book titled In Harm's Way. This book is about the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. This was an American warship that was over in the Pacific that was attacked during World War II by a Japanese submarine. And the ship was blown up and some 500 U.S. soldiers were going to be cast into the ocean fighting for life. On about the second or third day, they were going to be in the water for about 5 days before they were rescued. But on the second and third day, something very sad began to take place, because these men are out in the ocean in the Pacific. They're out there. The sun is beating down on them. No doubt the heat is intense. Not only the heat from the sky, but the glare of the sun off the water would have added to it. And these men begin to suffer from thirst. What made this worse was that they were surrounded by an innumerable amount of water. Billions upon, if not trillions. We're talking about the ocean. And so on about the third day, these men could no longer stand it. The thirst began to get so bad that they begin to drink the seawater. The problem with drinking the seawater is for the first second or so, it may, for one split second, it made them feel a little bit better because it is water. The problem, though, is because of the salt, within seconds of drinking the water, hoping to quench their thirst, it intensified the thirst. And they begin to consume more of the water in order to quench the greater thirst that was now created by the seawater. And eventually, that seawater killed them, completely dehydrated them. They begin to suffer unimaginable pain and then death. We live in an hour where the human soul is hungrier and thirstier than it has ever been in the history of the world. We live in an hour where the human soul
is thirsting for something that will satiate, something that will satisfy. I just want the pain to go away. I just want the craving to go away. I want, and they're surrounded by things that the devil is telling them, just consume this and you'll feel better. But heartbreakingly, they consume it, and for a split second, for a minute or two, it makes them feel a little bit. The problem is the very thing you're consuming to make you feel better, all it did was intensify and increase the pain and increase the hunger and increase what you're saying. And so now you're consuming more of it, and eventually it leads to unimaginable pain and eventually death. We live in a world where people are chasing after something that will satisfy. The problem is they're chasing after the wrong bread. They're chasing after, when someone is chasing after something they hope will satisfy, but it the thought there is, you're chasing after the wrong bread. Because I want to, you know, there is a bread that can satisfy your soul, your mind, your heart, your body. I want you to think about this with me. Think about bread. Fascinating. I get to travel quite a bit. My wife and I just came back from overseas. You know, in many countries, the food is different. We were just, I went to go visit my family in Jamaica. Come on, somebody. In Jamaica, we love stuff. I'm going to tell you some stuff. I don't want to ruin your dinner now. But in Jamaica, we love some chicken feet. That'll mess you up right there. There are few things on planet Earth that are as delicious as Jamaican cow foot. I've been to India. If you've ever had butter chicken, Indian style, oh Lord. I've been to Africa and all these different countries. And the thing about traveling all these places is they all have different food. There's people in India who's never heard about a Jamaican patty. There's people in Colorado who ain't never heard about no Jamaican patty. Y'all sitting here going, what is that? There's people in Jamaica. If you tell them, listen, I'm going to make you some chicken tikka masala, they would know what you took. I took my wife. We went recently to Las Vegas. The church, I went there to preach, just in case you're wondering. The church we were preaching in, next door to the church, had one of these Hispanic grocery stores, and inside of the Hispanic grocery store was one of the best restaurants we'd ever eaten in our life. I went up in there, and my question, whenever I go to one of these places, do you have menudo? And they said, yes, we do. And they put it in a little bowl. When I tasted it, I started speaking into Robo Shata Mama Roda Honda to Rick. There's people in, they ain't never heard of no menudo. But do you know, no matter where you go in the world, there's one food every culture has. Bread. No matter where you go. Now, they might make it different, but it's still bread. Is this the reason why Jesus said, I am the bread of life? Because what he was saying to you and what he was saying to me is no matter where you go, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, he is the only one that can satisfy the soul. You can be from Africa or Jamaica or anywhere. Jesus is saying, I can still satisfy your soul. But sadly, when people have the choice between the bread of life and the bread of man, so often they choose the wrong bread. They choose the wrong bread. And that's what we're going to see in our text tonight. This man was going to have the opportunity of a lifetime. Let me rephrase that. This man was going to have the opportunity of an eternal lifetime. But he chose the wrong bread. Think about this man in our text with me for just a moment. History says that this man has the worst name of any human being that has ever lived. His name is considered the most vile name on planet Earth. I saw a documentary. I was in a hotel somewhere, and I saw a documentary. And this documentary was about an old family over there. I believe it was England or Germany, and the last name of the family was Hitler. And the guy doing the documentary, he came to this man, he said, listen, why won't you change your name? And this man said, no. He said, my family has had this name for many, many, many generations. He said, I'm not changing my family name just because one crazy, nasty man killed, you know, millions. He said, no, we're keeping the name. Me personally, I'd have changed my name to Johnson, but that's... Do you know that in some countries, people name their children Lucifer? Because the name actually means morning star. That's pretty. No, it's not. You named your child Lucifer. Okay, I'll give you another one. I know somebody, I don't know him, but I know of him, who named their child Levi. Now you would think, what's wrong with that? It's cool if that Levi was short for Leviticus. That's a pretty name. That's not what it's short for. It's short for Leviathan. You name your baby Leviathan, and that child tear up the whole world, that's your fault. You knew what you were doing, you did it. I don't know why he liked it. Yes, you do. But you know what name you've never heard anyone called? You've never heard any human being named Judas. You've never heard anyone name their child because this man's name is considered the most vile, disgusting. In fact, there's some places I think it's illegal to name someone Judas. The question, how could this man so destroy his name and his that he's considered the most vile human that has ever lived? Let's consider it. Let's consider what he could have done that brought this on. The first mention of Judas in the Bible is in the book of John chapter 6, which I've always found extremely fascinating, because the whole story of John chapter 6, or the main story in John chapter 6, is about a bunch of people who were chasing after the wrong bread. And that's going to be the first mention of Judas. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. Thank you for asking. I wanted to tell you. In John chapter 5, Jesus preached the greatest sermon that's ever been preached in the history of the world. Because, I mean, if you're Jesus, you're going to preach the greatest sermon. Because, you know what I'm saying? You the word preaching the word. So, he's up there and he preached that sermon, you know. Blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who mourn, and blessed will you be. And he preached that great sermon. And when he was done preaching,
it's got to be Peter, because we know Peter's the main spokesman. Well, he was always the one running his mouth. Peter came up to the Lord. He was like, Lord, that was a great sermon. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, not praise God, like praise you because you God. But whatever. Lord, I was looking at the people. I was looking at them, right? And I'm like, they look really hungry. But what he was really saying is, Lord, we really hungry. You preach for like forever. You long-winded. But he couldn't say that because, you know, he's like, yeah, Lord, the people are starving. He's like, oh, that's fine. Give them something to eat. What do you mean, give them something? Stay right there. I'll be back. He go talk to the, hey, guys, I tried that whole the people were hungry thing. He didn't fall for it. I think he kind of saw through me. Of course he did. He's God. What should we tell him? What should we tell him? They're like, ooh, we know exactly what to tell him. Tell him we don't have no money because we don't have no job. And we don't have no job because we quit our job to follow him. That's good. That's good. We ain't got no money. $200 worth of bread would be not enough. But we don't have $200 because we don't have no jobs. And we don't have no jobs because, do you remember, follow me and make you fishes and men? You remember that little thing right there? He was like, that's fine, but give him something to eat. Oh, at that time, a little boy was there with some fish and some bread. Remember that? Jesus takes the fish and the bread, prays over it, breaks it, and the Bible said probably 15,000 people, because it said 5,000 men, not counting women and children. There's always more women and children, so let's round it up. At least 15,000 people ate fish and bread cooked by God. Now, you know that was some good fish and some good bread, because God cooked. You ever had fish and it was like over-seasoned? Like they put too much salt in it. You like, ooh, I'm just going to eat it because I don't want to make them mad. You know what I'm saying? Or you done had some bread that's been sitting around and it's gotten moldy and you're like, oh, Lord. None of that. God cooked this meal. And they're up there on the mountain. Oh, Lord. The Bible says after this, Jesus tells the disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side. I'm going to meet you. He goes up to pray. When he's done praying, you know the story. He walks on the water, he meets them, and they go to the other side. And the Bible says when they get to the other side, the multitude's already there. This is John chapter 6. The Bible says in John chapter 6, Jesus preaches another sermon. And this sermon was going to have a completely different effect. He preaches that sermon, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. He says to them, listen, you are not chasing me because of the words. I preached the greatest sermon in the history of the world, and yet you're not chasing me because of the sermon you heard. You're chasing me because I gave you free fish and bread. And then he said, listen, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. He was saying to them, stop chasing after the wrong bread. Think about it. I just fed you supernaturally on the mountain, and you're already in need. He said, listen, I can give you something that'll change that. He said, but eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. The Bible said when he preached that sermon, a whole bunch of people got mad and decided not to walk with him anymore. He turns to the 12, John chapter 6, verse 68. He turns to the 12 and said, do you also want to leave? And here where we get to the story. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have learned to believe and trust, and more, we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God, the Christ, the Son of God. Verse 70, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? And yet, one of you is a devil of the false accuser. And here's where we get his name. Verse 71, he was speaking of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he was about to betray him. First thought, let's run through this quick. Jesus said, do you also want to leave? Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Can I share something with y'all real quick? Look at me for a second. Look at me. If his words alone is enough to give you eternal life, how much more will you get from a relationship with him?
if just his words alone. Peter said, Lord, your word, just listening to what you say, has the power to give eternal life. How much more if you were to make a decision to serve him? And oh, my God. Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words to eternal life. And then he said something fascinating. He said, and we believe. And we have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wait a minute. What do you mean we believe? Let me tell you what he means. At some point, probably right after the fish and the bread and the walking on the water, because all that just happened. At some point, these brothers got together and they were like, hey, man, listen, who in the world is this? Did y'all see that man? Did y'all see him walk on the water last night? Yeah, we saw it. Okay, did y'all see the part where he got in the boat, right? He got in the boat and he went, wind, wave, hush up. And the wave were, oh, ooh, we sorry. Did y'all see that? Yeah. Did y'all taste that fish and that bread? Yeah. And they said, who could this be? And all of them would have said, he has to be God, including Judas. Because the Bible didn't say, well, 11 of us believe you're God, but one of us is like still debating. No, he said, we believe. We believe. What does that mean? That means you can be sitting in church and talking like a Christian, acting like a Christian, worshiping like a Christian, praying like a Christian, and yet it's all lip service because your heart already belongs to another because you're chasing after the wrong bread. The next time we read of Judah, fascinating little story. The Bible says it was when Mary came in with the alabaster flask, broke it, and anointed the disciples, or anointed Jesus. But before we get there, I want to touch on one more thing. Just brought back. Jesus is going to say something. In verse 70, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is the devil. Can I just throw this in here real quick and then I'll get back to what I was saying? Listen, don't you find it fascinating that Jesus said, I chose you 12 and yet one of you is the devil? Okay, y'all, wouldn't it have been normal if he would have said, I chose you 12 and yet one of you, Judas, I'm talking to you. Don't be looking away. Look at me. I'm talking to you. One of you is the devil. He didn't do that. He could have. First of all, what this tells us is there is no such thing as secret sin in the kingdom. It's just sin that has not been revealed yet. Why didn't Jesus say, and Judas, you're the devil? Because he doesn't want you to repent because you got exposed. He wants you to repent because you're convicted. He doesn't want to shame you into repentance. He wants to love you into it. This was the absolute love of God for him to stand there and say to Judas, Judas, I already know what you're doing. He was giving him an opportunity to stop. Let me keep going. We get to Mary and the alabaster flask. You know the story. Mary breaks the alabaster flask, and the Bible says Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was going to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Another translation says, why was this wasted? The Bible says, we know the story, given to the poor. Now, he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, for he had never cared about them. He said it because he was a thief, and since he had the money box serving as the treasure for the 12 disciples, he would steal from it. First thought, when you're chasing after the wrong bread, you will consider complete and total dedication and surrender and devotion to the Lord a waste. Because you don't understand. When your faith is divided between the kingdom and the world,
That's what will cause you to see complete and total devotion to him. She broke. This alabaster flask was her future. It was her hopes and her dreams, and she was going to pour it out on him. And Judas is sitting here. What a waste. Let me ask you, are you excited? Does it move your heart to see people go all in for God? Or do you care? What a waste. You might be chasing after the wrong bread. And then we get to our text. The last place we're going to read about Judas, or one of the last places. John chapter 13, the Passover. Verse 1, just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world to go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right up until the end. That ought to convict the fire out of you if you're chasing after the wrong bread. We've already established that he knew Judas was a thief. We've already established he knew Judas was going to betray him. We've already established that Judas was already working for the devil. And yet, the Bible said he loved them until the end. His love for you does not change because you decided to change. His love for you, I loved him. Loved him. The Bible said, having loved him to the end. And so we read this word. Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew his time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he loved them right unto the end. It was supper time. And listen to these words. The devil by now had Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, firmly in his grip, all set for betrayal. One of the dangers, and I might preach on this week, so I won't go too deep. One of the dangers of having a divided loyalty is you might end up choosing the wrong power to serve. Put it another way. One of the dangers of chasing after the bread of this world. And when I'm talking about the bread of this world, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the things that this world promises will satisfy your soul, and they can never satisfy your soul. And if money is that for you, it is. It says they're up in the upper room. Matthew 26. Jesus is going to preach one more sermon. You know what I love about the Lord? God, he is so in love with you that he'll preach a sermon right to you. You know, people get mad when the preacher preaches a sermon right to you. Like, Pastor, how dare you? I'm getting ready to run around like a fool in here. I want you to think about this now. You got a church full of people. Church full of people. Do you know what kind of love your pastor has to have for you? For him to ignore everybody up in here and write a whole sermon just for you. That doesn't really happen. But that's a lot of love. I be like, Pastor, you know, it hurt a little bit. It did hurt. Especially when you said my name. You know, you're like, Patrick, I'm talking to you. That part hurt really bad. But I'm really grateful that you. Okay, watch this. Watch this right here. Jesus is going to preach. Watch what he says. The Son of Man is to go to the cross just as it is written in the scripture. But whoa, judgment is coming to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better if that man had never been born. That sermon was not for the other 11. That was a one-man sermon. And it was the exact sermon Judas needed to hear in that moment. Don't get offended. When God preaches a sermon. Now, I got a lot of sermons. I don't know nobody here I ain't talking to you, Pastor, about nothing. So y'all can't get mad at me. You can only get mad at Jesus, not that Jesus, the other Jesus, the Jesus up there, not the Jesus down here. It's going to be a little difficult, Jesus. Jesus is going to preach one last sermon to Judas. One last. You know, there's a lot of people who were sitting in church, got up and walked out having no idea that was their last sermon. And had they responded to it, it would not have been. But because, like Judas, he says, listen. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed. But Judas, it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be you. And so the Bible says when Jesus said this, Matthew 26:22, they were all exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Lord, this is another sermon, but it's such a good thought. I don't want to skip it. You want to go to heaven? How many of you here want to go to heaven? Let me see your hand. You want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? Okay, listen. This is the key right here. You looking for the key? This is the key. If you want to make heaven your home, one of the best things you can do is every single church service, you should pray, Lord, is it I? Every service. You come to church, start in the prayer room. Before you start speaking in tongues, Lord, is it I? When the preacher's preaching and he says something, before you go, that was for, no, that wasn't for them. First ask, Lord, is it I? When the altar call is pulled, it doesn't matter if you don't, that sermon really didn't apply. Get down here and pray. If it's all, the only thing you have to, Lord, is it I? Because that'll save your soul. The Bible says 11 men. Would you be my counter, sister? Because I can't preach and count at the same time. That's like chewing gum and going upstairs. So count for me. Okay, count for me. Use your finger so I can see him. Use your finger. Lord, is it I? Lord, you're going too fast. Now I haven't said it twice. One at a time. Lord, is it I? 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 11. 11 men said, Lord, is it I? And then Judas said, teacher, is it I? That's the problem right there. That's the problem right there. They had all made him Lord. You were only satisfied with making him teacher. See, the Lord speaks to your heart. The teacher speaks to your intellect. Teacher, is it I? And then Jesus was like, the one, I need a volunteer. Help me, my brother. When I said I need a volunteer, everybody, all the men was like, no, man, I'm good. Come help me out, my brother. Hey, man, don't worry. I'm going to let you be Jesus. I'm going to be Judas because I don't want you to be mad. You want to play Judas? Okay, that's right. I thought so. I'm like, come on up here. You Jesus for a minute. Okay, well, I need you to face me and the church at the same time. When you're doing a skit, you always face the person you're talking to and the church. You know what I'm saying? Okay, now, this hand, which is right, it's your right hand. The right hand is going to be the hand of, and then the left hand going to hold the bread. Okay, hold the bread. Hold it like you're offering it to me. Yeah. Okay. Jesus said, the one to whom I give the bread to after I've dipped it in the cup. Pause for a minute. Just stay right there. First and foremost, after he dipped that bread in the cup, ain't no way in the world I'm touching it. The devil is a lie. You just put a curse on that bread. I'll never eat bread again. The one I dip it in the cup, and give it to. So he dips it in the cup. Go on, dip it in the cup. Woo, dip it in the cup. Now remember, the cup, the wine, was his blood. And now in that bread blood and the body. Are you with me? You know what it is. Don't touch that if you don't. If you ain't here. And he offered. And he said, Judas, this is what I'm offering you. You can have this bread. That's not even going to satisfy you the rest of tonight. Or you could have me. That will satisfy your soul forever. That's the choice Judas had. I can have the bread of man, 30 worthless pieces of silver, or I could have the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And Judas reached for the wrong bread. And the Bible says the moment he took the bread, Satan entered him. Listen to me, please. Please listen to me. There is a line. It is a supernatural line. Once you cross that line, you have decided that you want hell over heaven. I don't know if you can come back from that line. I don't know. But listen to me. The problem is you don't know where that line is. You don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. What is the decision that you could make that may cause you to cross that line and seal your fate? Judas had the choice. I can have the bread of life or the bread of man. He chose. What about you? Because every church service, you get the same choice. Every service. I'm going to close with this story. Thank you, my brother. I went to Zambia, Livingston, Zambia, many, many years. First time I ever gone overseas, I went to Livingston, Zambia. Loved it. I loved Africa. Some of the best food in the world is in Africa. We went out to eat. The pastor took a few of the young men. We went out to eat. And now, in life, you have people who are in shape. You have people who are slender. And then you have people who are skinny. Y'all use that word, skinny? These brothers was even skinnier than skinny. I mean, these brothers were like skinny, skinny. And yet when we went out to eat, them brothers could eat. Me and the pastor, we said, we're loving it. I mean, praise God, enjoy yourself. We're sitting there, we're trying to look at him like, where in the world are you putting all that food? We had a blast, had a big old fellowship, ate some good food. But after the fellowship, they went home and ate. And so the next day, I'm like, okay, y'all got to, Crispin was my brother, man. Crispin, explain to me how does that work? He said, Pastor, we didn't go home and eat a lot. He said, but in our culture, we have this substance. They call it mealy meal. If I could explain to you, it's like taking grits and then hardening it to where it turns into a bread. He said, Pastor, in our culture, it doesn't matter what you eat. If we haven't had this bread, we haven't eaten anything. And so before we go to bed, we have to have a little bit. It's not a lot. We just go home and we just have a little bit of it. I said, that'll preach right there. I tell you, it doesn't matter what you consume. Until you've had the bread of life, you've had nothing. All the money in the world, all the faith. I mean, look at the world. My heart breaks for this world. I'm telling you, outside of the revival, I'm over it. Because those in our world that have everything live like they have nothing, because they don't. Because until you've had the bread of life, Jesus in the garden, they come to get him. And Judas tells it. This is what he says. He says, I'm going to show you who he is. When you see him, grab him and don't let him get away. What a sermon, Judas. only you would have listened to it. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. We're going to go to the garden. I'm going to show him to you. When you see him, when you find him, grab him and don't let him go. Bow your heads with me tonight for just a moment. I had to walk to the 7-Eleven to get this bread for the illustration. I'm passing by the weed shop or whatever they call this little store here on the corner. Just heartbreaking, man. People pulling up, running in. You know why? Because their souls are thirsting. Their souls yearn for something real. They're going to go, they're going to smoke, get high, and then they'll get low again because that's what happened, because it can never satisfy. And they're going to get low, and they're going to go spend more money, and the cycle will never end until it consumes you and kills you. That was me. As your pastor said, 1997, that was me. Consuming everything the world had to offer, hoping that some of it would satisfy. One night in a church service just like this, a preacher preached about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was offered the bread of life. What the Lord was saying to me is, Patrick, you can keep consuming the bread of this world and you can stay depressed and suicidal and full of frustration and full of violence and angry and hate, and or you can have Jesus, the bread of life. And on that night, I chose the right bread, and here it is, 30 years later, I still choose Jesus. What about you tonight? There's people here tonight, you've chased after relationship. You've chased after money. You've chased after drugs and alcohol and perversion. And if you'd be honest, you say, Pastor, I'm like those men in the ocean. The more of it that I consume, the more of it it feels like I need to consume. And it's not getting better. I was hoping this would satisfy, but it's not only not getting better, my life's getting worse. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Before we do anything else tonight, I say it again. He absolutely loves you. His heart for you doesn't change based on who you are or what you're doing. He still loves you. And you're here tonight. You say, Pastor Johnson, Pastor Barajas, I need Jesus. If that's you tonight, I would love to pray for you. Love to pray with you. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want you to do something tonight so we know who you are so we can pray together. Would you lift your hand quickly? Let me see it. Thank God for you. Lift it up. Lift it up. Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you pray? Come on. Come on. You say, listen, I'm not going to embarrass you, ask you to do anything silly, but I want to pray for you. Someone prayed for me. My life's never been the same. And I believe tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, will do the same, if not much more for you than he did for me. Lift it up tonight. We're going to pray together. Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Young people lifting their hands. How many more? Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I choose Jesus tonight. I choose Jesus. Amen. All these young people lifted. Look at me. Come on, young man. Come on. Young lady. Come on. Come on. Come on. If I can get maybe a children's church worker or just somebody, would you pray with them for me? You can pray. Church, would you stand with me tonight? Would you stand? Pray with them for me. Pray with them for me. Pray. Church, every church service is an opportunity for you to check your heart. That's what that means. Lord, is it out? Let me look and make sure there's nothing in here. Judas said, Teacher, would you come find a place to pray tonight? Would you come to this altar, find a place to pray tonight? We'll spend just a little time praying. Spend a little time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you've come to church. You might as well come to the altar. You've wonderfully come to church. You might as well come to the... Come and let's finish here together with God. Finish here together with God. Finish here together with God. Oh, God, we ask you tonight. Lord, I'm asking God for divine grace. I'm chasing after the bread of life. All I want is Jesus. All I want is Jesus. So I'm asking for is Jesus. Nothing else can satisfy my soul. All I need, all I want is Jesus. God, we praise your lovely name. Yes, God. Thank you tonight, mighty God. Oh, all I need and all I want is Jesus. Father, we love you tonight. I want the bread. Oh, all I need. Thank you, Jesus. All I need, Lord. God, you're all I need. Stay at the altar with me. Stay here with me. Would you stand with me tonight? Would you stand with me? Keep playing, my brother. Keep playing. I meant to church when I said I'm through with this world. I don't even know any other way to put it. It's too much for me, man. All the chaos, the heartbreak and the heartache and the lying and the horrible hypocrisy of our world. The unrighteousness and the fact that we live now in the hour that the Bible says, darkness is good and light is evil. But you know what that means is that we're very close. I know you've been hearing it. We're very close. I mean, come on, if you were God, how much more would you put up with? All right, there's the answer. If you were God, we'd already all be gone. He'd be like, you know what? Psst, psst. Thank God he's merciful. And he's loving. And he's kind. But there is an end. You're here tonight. You are not right with God. I'm going to say it again. Judas, I wonder if in that upper room that night, Jesus was there, and so was the devil. Judas couldn't see that. The devil was in the room. And the devil was waiting for the decision. He's there, he's waiting. He'd already been talking to Judas, but now it was going to go from talking to owning. And he's waiting. Judas standing there before the Lord. Read it in your Bible. It says, the moment Judas took the bread, he flung the doors of his soul wide open. Be careful what you are reaching for in this world. Because the things of this world, the sin, the unrighteousness that you may be giving yourselves, you don't realize that could be a key that you're using to fling open the door of your soul. And you're inviting things and people in there that ain't got no business. Judas had no idea that night that piece of bread was going to unlock his soul. Thank God tonight we have his story. But his story is an admonition for us. Are you with me? Thank God the Lord didn't hide it from us. He could have been like, I want you to know that one of my boys was crazy. I ain't gonna tell y'all that.
that looks bad on me. You know what I'm saying? At first, I had a church of like, you know, 500 people. Then I preached one sermon and like, you know, 488 of them left. Is that my math right? Yeah. 488 people walked out the church. I was like, oh man, I'm reduced to 12 dudes. I better not preach no more crazy sermons. Then he did. He preached one more sermon. One of y'all is the devil. But he didn't hide it. You know why he didn't hide it? Because he loves us so much that he wants Judas's story to help us and to understand. Listen, you might be playing, but the devil's not. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. Oh, God, we love you. What are you playing? Jesus, love? In fact, let's just sing this song for just a moment. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, you've taken me from my clay, set my feet upon the rock. I love you, I need you, you're my only hope, I'll never, come on, lift your hands tonight, lift your hands as we sing my Savior, my Savior, oh Lord, I will worship you. For you tonight. I want to pray for somebody. Keep playing for me if you don't mind. Just real soft. I want to pray for somebody tonight. Listen. You say, Pastor, there was a time in my life that I was chasing after the wrong bread. Everything you said tonight, everything the Bible said tonight, true. I was chasing after things that would satisfy my soul. But now, Pat, listen, I'm trying to tell you exactly what's going on in your life so you'll know who I'm talking to, so God can give you the miracle and the deliverance that rightfully belongs to you. You say, Pastor, I have decided I want Jesus. I've come to understand, just like the disciples, I know that he is the bread of life, the only bread that can satisfy. But pastors, from time to time, and maybe even right now, I'm still struggling with some of the bread of this world. It's almost like I've got it in my system and I need God to help get it out, because I understand. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I'm not interested in going back. I want Jesus. But Pastor, there's still some bread in here. And I just want God to help me with the struggles. I'm not going to say much more. If that's you tonight, God's dealing with somebody. Would you come? I want to pray for you, whoever you are tonight. Would you come? I'm not going to hold this out long. You say, Pastor, I'm still, hallelujah, I'm still dealing with the struggles. Father, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. Thank you for honest people. Thank you for honest people. In that scripture, having loved them till the end, I'm going to say it again to you. His mind has not changed. His heart has not changed. He knows the end from the beginning. Doesn't change his heart. He's still the same God. And he will absolutely help you through. You know, he wants you to go to heaven more than you want to go to heaven. You know that Jesus wants to spend forever with you? You know, that's his plan. He's been working on that plan for like 6,000 years, 7 months. Were you 6 months? 6 months and 28. What's today? 21st? The 12th? So 6,000 years, 6 months, 12 days, whatever. Y'all know what I'm trying to say.
and you were his plan since then. And he'll help you. How do I say this without? You are never going to not struggle with the bread of this world, because it's always there. Deliverance is not God removing the bread. That's not deliverance. Deliverance is God giving you the ability to stand right in front of bread that you had no power over yesterday, and being able today to say, not interested. That's the deliverance we need. Whatever the bread is, whatever it is that the enemy of your, whatever it is. Deliverance is him giving you the power to say, Satan, I'm not interested. Jesus on the mountain. I mean, think about it. He'd been fasting for 40 days. After I've been fasting for 4 hours, I need some bread. Y'all laughing because you know it's true. After 40 days, you are starving. And yet Satan said, turn these stones into bread, man. And Jesus said, I don't need stones. I've got a much better bread. That's deliverance. That's what we're believing God for you tonight. You with me? That's what you, precious young men, that's what we're believing God for tonight. There's no secret sin. I want you to stretch out your hands, church. Help me pray for these precious people. God, we're asking you tonight, God, for divine deliverance. Lord, I'm asking and believing tonight, God, for a supernatural strength. God, we praise and love you tonight. God, we bless you. God, we thank you. Give God praise tonight. Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Wonderful Jesus. Here's what hindered Judas. All the other disciples went all in. You know what that phrase means, all in? It's an old phrase, but when we use it, it's like a poker phrase, where you're playing poker and you have your chips in front of you, and you say, you know what, all in, and you push them all in the middle, meaning I'm not holding anything back. It's all your, what got in Judas's way, he was never all in. There was always this, you know, this, he always kept a plan B. Listen, you want to be the man of God that God's created you to be? You got to go all in. There can't be no plan B. It can't be all in. Means it's settled. I'll never forget growing up, when I was growing up as a disciple, and I'm going to close, I'll let you go. Growing up as a disciple, your pastor can attest to this. There's all these guys in our church. We were so gifted. The Killeen Church. We had so many rappers and singers and they all wanted to go be stars. They were, come on, man, we're going to do a show. Nope, can't do no show. I'm all in for this kingdom. Not interested in that kingdom. I left that kingdom. No, come on, man. You know what? Every single solitary one of them is gone today. They were never all in. 30 years later, man, I'm just getting started. God's got so much more. You got to go all in for Jesus. What's your name? Adrian? Adrian, all in, man. All in for the Lord. In the story about the alabaster flask, she broke it. She was saying, I'm going all in. I'm not leaving anything behind. It's all about Jesus, nothing else. You do that, Adrian. Oh, God's got good things for you. Great destiny and purpose and plans that God, things God can do. All in. Holding nothing back. complete surrender. God, we thank you tonight. Father, we give you glory and praise. Let's give God praise. Pastor comes tonight. God, we, oh, stay here. So we can stay here tonight. Stay here. I'm going to take my bread with me.
Leave that bread here. Glory. How many enjoyed it? It's just the beginning. Let's invite somebody out tomorrow. Amen. What God did today, imagine this. One service. One. You come tomorrow. Invite somebody that needs, not this. Not this. Listen. This doesn't even, it's not even going to satisfy you because you're going to get another one. Amen. Only Jesus can satisfy us. Come tomorrow and see what God has. Amen. Si puedes dar una oración.